Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So this isn't in Scripture. This is a Pastor Travis imagining thing, just a little disclaimer. But every Easter, I think about what Jesus has done for us. And you know everything he's done for us. It's just vastly amazing. The fact that he died on the sin, took our punishment, took our separation from God, took on our death and destroyed all of that so that we might be with him forever, rose from the dead to prepare a place for us in heaven so that we can and will be with him there forever. I mean, it's just overwhelmingly awesome to think about it. And then in our gospel lesson, to even further think how he says he's going to send us the Holy Spirit so that we will have faith and believe in him and live in him. And he does that. We receive that Spirit in the waters of holy baptism, where he washes away our sins, where he declares that we are his child, where he saves us, rescues us, gives us faith, and then continues to sustain that faith in word and in sacrament. I mean, this is the most amazing thing in all the world. But then I think about this. I don't know why. It's just something I think is cool. And I get this picture of what it must have looked like. So let's back up to the crucifixion. Contrary to popular belief, a lot of people think that Jesus suffered in hell. Well, I'm here today to tell you that's not the case. Jesus suffered hell, which is separation from God, in his death on the cross. That is where he suffered the most. That is where he took on all of our suffering on that cross. In the words that he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is my God, why have you forsaken me? At that minute, Christ was proclaiming something that no one else in all creation ever has had to say. God, why are you turning your back on me? Why are you forsaking me? This is the most painful thing in all of the world. In fact, even when God's Old Testament people turned against him, he not once turned his back on them. He not once left them with his presence. His presence was always with them. He loves his people and will endure with them through good times and in bad times, no matter what. But in order for sin to be dealt with harshly, in order for us to be redeemed, in order for Jesus to pay our full price in his death, he had to suffer complete and total, utter separation from Jesus. More painful than the pain of the cross. More painful than being beat or flogged, more painful than anything he had endured up to that moment, was his utter separation as God literally turned his back on him so that he could not see the pain that Jesus was bearing and the fact that he had become the ugliness of our sin. That is where Christ suffered his hell, his separation from Jesus. But a lot of us believe, and a lot of people still believe, that no, that happened when he descended into hell. Well, St. Peter sets the record straight on that. Jesus did go to hell, but not to suffer. So picture it for a moment. Sicily, 1912. Oh, no, that's Golden Girl. Sorry. Picture it for a moment. The day that Jesus died on the cross and was laid in that tomb. Satan, you know, Satan's dumb. If you don't understand that, Satan is dumb. He doesn't know he's already lost the victory. He doesn't know that Jesus has won, even though that Jesus has told him. He doesn't know. He's just dumb. That's Satan, right? So he's down there, and I imagine he's probably a good German. Well, I don't know. But anyways, he's down there with his beer, right? And he's celebrating. And I imagine Satan being in the center as the general of the army, and around him were the captains and then the lieutenants, the majors and then the lieutenants, and all the way down to the sergeants. And then at the very back, the outer circle, were the normal soldiers, you know, and the ones who really do all the work. And man, Satan is there, and he's clinging that beer glass, and he's saying, "Woo! Jesus has been defeated!" And then all of a sudden, there's a commotion way back on the outer circle. And again, this is my vision, right? And the privates, they begin to open up, and then right down, and the sergeants, they open up the flanks, and then the lieutenants, and the captains, and the majors, and the colonels, and then the general himself. And there at one end of hell is Jesus, and here is Satan. Now, can you imagine as Jesus looks to him and says, "I love my people so much that I have saved and redeemed them from you. The victory belongs to me, and I give it for eternity to my people." Saint Peter says that he descended into hell to declare his victory, to preach the good news to those who were there, so that once and for all, Satan would be squashed. You know, Scripture said that Jesus would crush the head of Satan. He did that in his death. He did it most certainly when he descended into the abyss of hell for you and for me, to declare to our greatest enemy, face to face, that he has lost the war. more. The victory belongs to Jesus forever. Can you imagine that? That's the love of Jesus. He went into this place, this abyss of torment, this Hades, this place. And just to declare this, you know, Hades, or hell, gets its concept and name from the Old Testament. Outside of most Old Testament cities, there was a gate, a small gate, usually on the backside of the village or the fortified city, and there was a trash dump out there. They would throw out all the trash. They would throw out human waste. They would throw out even dead bodies sometimes, if they weren't of a certain religion or whatever. They'd throw those out, and they would rot in a cesspool, and sometimes they would combust from the heat and all the gunk. It would combust, and the smell was terrible. It was terrible. That's what Hades is. It's a place of perishing, a place of rotting, a place of disgust. Not a pleasant place to be, my brothers and sisters. That's where that comes from, and that Old Testament concept. And we know that hell is not a place we ever want to even get a glimpse of. But Jesus did. He went into this muck mire, this place of perishing, rotting human flesh of stench and filth, to declare to Satan that we are his forever. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This is the extent that God goes to make sure that you and I are his forever. This is the extent that God goes to forgive our sins forever. This is the extent he goes to declare his unconditional love to us forever. This is the extent he goes to that says, no matter what you are going through in life, I am with you. Now, it's interesting that St. Peter opens this lesson up for today with first talking about going into places we don't want to go in times of trouble and tribulation and hardships. And he says, endure those with patience because they will lead you to victory. Right now is one of those times for every one of us listening to this message today. Right now is one of those times as we're dealing with this pandemic, as we're dealing with trying to open things back up, as we have worries and fears and doubts, financial troubles, losses of jobs, loved ones who are sick, on top of the cancer diagnoses that are out there previously, or the financial worries that were there previously, or issues with parents or children. All of those things exist. And this is what St. Peter says, and this is the example that Jesus sets for us. In the midst of those trials and tribulations of life, because of what Jesus has done for us, we can walk into those trials, which come from the evil one himself, and declare that the victory is ours. We can declare that Satan has been crushed by Jesus, that victory belongs to you and to me, that no matter what we may be going through, we will come through with strength. We will find the peace that passes understanding by continuing to pray, by surrendering it to Jesus, by asking for his presence, by partaking of word and sacrament and worship, and by externally loving those around us. We do that by building relationships and by, in those times of hardship and trials, praising Jesus, finding the things we are grateful for, and setting for them an example of our life of victory, so that when they see us going through those hardships, they may say, I want what you have. Show me the gloriousness of the victory of Jesus that you already have, in knowing that God works everything out for the good for those who trust in him, you and me. This is victory. And we are called by Jesus in our lesson for today to follow his command, to love him and to follow his command because we love him. His command is this: go and be disciples making disciples. Disciples are his children who intentionally seek to be his presence every day, everywhere. Intentionally seek to be his presence, to share his love and his message and his gospel in word and in action at all times. His disciples seek more than anything else to put others first, to love them so much, so that they may know the overwhelming victory of Jesus in their lives. That's what it means to be a disciple making disciples. Intentionally doing it in our homes, with our family, with our friends, in our workplaces, in our schools, with our neighbors on either side of us, those we pass as we're walking in the neighborhood, picking up the phone, sending a text, sending a handwritten card. It's all about being Jesus' disciples. And what that means is that we intentionally walk into scary places. We intentionally walk through our trials and tribulations without letting them overcome us, because Jesus has already overcome them. But allowing Jesus with full surrender to lead us through our fears, our worries, our doubts, our anxieties, our troubles, our tribulations, to lead us through with his victory proclamation, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, to lead us through with that victory proclamation to show the world who Jesus is and what lengths he has gone to love us, to save us, to rescue us, and to redeem us for all eternity. This is most certainly true. This is God's act of victory for you and for me. This is God's call for you and for me. This is Jesus' example for you and for me. This is what you and I are called to do. This is our only task in this world, contrary to what everything else tells us. It is our only task to love with the love of Jesus, to go through hard times and tribulations, to go into places we may be afraid to go or to be anxious about sharing Jesus, and to be his presence. And when we do, all heaven rejoices, and the victory of Jesus continues to resound throughout all ages in our lives and in the lives of every person who comes to know his salvation. You've got this. You were made for this. You were recreated in baptism for this. The Holy Spirit is already with you. He has made you God's child, and he has placed the gospel and the love and victory in you. You've got this. You've got this. Take the hand of Jesus. Walk with his Spirit who is in you. And love. Love every day and love every person. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of Jesus, amen.